All right. So in 2 weeks, this is coming up fast, guys. And thank you for springing forward. Way to go. I had forgotten about 10 o'clock, which would have been 11 o'clock now. And I went, oh, my goodness, I've been telling everybody else, and I didn't do it. Anyway, so we all made it one way or another. Did anybody forget that you still made it? Are you going to admit it in front of everyone? What? Okay, it's all right. 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, we are going to have our One Day to Feed the World offering for Convoy of Hope. And I put out a video. Actually, I might be showing next week. But anyway, I'm excited about it. Last year, you guys gave $33,000. It's as far as I can remember, the single biggest giving day that I can remember. $33,000 in one day. And that was double what we had hoped for. So what a day. Thank you for being faithful. It's such a great ministry. It really does help so many people. It feeds so many kids, just hundreds of thousands of kids. And so that's in 2 weeks. And just to be clear, it's the thing with One Day to Feed the World, it's one day's wage. You just kind of have to figure out what that would be for you, what you would normally make in a single day. So you have a couple weeks. Maybe you need to save a little bit. But just want us all to joyously give that day. The kids are going to give as well. And so that's the 23rd. That's March 23rd. All right. I want to bring another message to you today in our Light It Up series. And we have gone through a lot of subjects in this Light It Up series. And thank you for coming in after you have shared Christ in your life with someone in some way, turning on a light bulb out there. That's been really encouraging. It's nice and bright. Just to go through a few things that we have learned and discussed, we found that when it comes to sharing our faith, that God wants you to just be you, no one else. He designed you to share his light based on how he has designed you to be. Kind of takes the pressure off. He wants you to be you. Okay, that's where we start. We then discovered that we all have a testimony to share. What Christ has done in your life, and at different times, we're to share that testimony and anything else that God has done in your life for the need of the moment. And last Wednesday night, Tim Bottoms shared with us that during worship a few weeks ago, first of all, it's quite a story from Wednesday night, I will tell you that. He's had tinnitus, very severe. I know lots of people that have had tinnitus and still do. And it's for him, it's been really loud in his ears. And that long time, 14, 15 years, whatever it is. And during worship several weeks ago, he was just worshiping the Lord. He had been praying. God had been doing some things in his life, and his ear suddenly popped, and the tinnitus was gone. And it's been gone for, I don't know, at least a month. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God does things like that. I don't know when he's going to do it. Sometimes he lets us know. Sometimes he doesn't. And in that instance, God just decided now's the time for Tim. So praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to continue to pray, continue to have faith. God is always working. But I've seen him do some really cool things in recent days. We all have a testimony to share. We also found that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness for Christ. We dove into that. What a huge subject that is. Empowered by the Holy Spirit to witness. We then discussed that being a light to the world means it should show in how we live, What we do, our actions are a big part of being a living testimony for Christ. And 2 weeks ago, we had a great talk about bitterness and forgiveness, and heard lots of testimony from you. Quite a few people talked to me about it, and it was really a powerful thing in a lot of people's lives. God did some wonderful things. And to be a light to our world means that we don't become bitter people, but that we are quick to forgive. Everybody say amen. Amen. So this week I want to go really to the beginning, to kind of do the start. How do we accomplish these things? How are we to be a light to our world? And it all has to do with abiding in Christ, and we're going to read that scripture here in a minute. And a word that I'm going to say a lot today, and it's a word called perception. Perception. And that's the proper perspective is the name of today's message. All right, John 15, verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus shares a very simple concept, one that we can easily grasp. Okay? Easily grasp. Abide in me, Jesus says. So to abide is to live. Abide is to continue, to remain. So to abide in Christ is to live in him or remain in him. And I'm going to jump down to verse 16 of the same chapter. Should be on your screen. It says, this is still Jesus, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So you may think that you have decided to follow Jesus, and that may be true. It's like the old song, you know, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Well, that's a good thought. That's a really good thought. And yes, you did have to make that decision, but Jesus is saying that the initial drawing, the initial invitation came from him. It's not that you were seeking him. He was after you. And what a great way to look at things, because that's the truth. Okay? The original invitation came from Jesus by his blood on the cross, calling out to you by his Spirit, and thus his Spirit is drawing you unbeknownst to you. So when you had no idea, God was after you. He chose you. Think about that. It's like in a whole room of people, God looked right at you and said, I want that one. Now, fortunately, he chooses lots of us. Okay? He's the one who does it. He's the one. The original invitation comes from him. And really, if he chose you, this means everything. It means that the beautiful God of the universe loves you, and he thinks highly of you. It means this is your identity, okay? This is who you are, a beloved child of God. Sometimes we need reminders about this. As a child of God, your future, your destiny is with him in beauty and in glory. It means that he not only chose you, but he chose you for a purpose, to bear fruit, he says. He appointed you to bear fruit for his glory, to be a light to your world, okay? And when we talk about who we are, I want us to think about the word perception for a moment. Almost from the moment we wake up, most of us think about how we are perceived by others. Now, you might be thinking, well, I don't think that. Okay, that's okay. All right. At some point, you're going to think about what clothes you're going to wear. Okay, what shoes you're going to put on. Now, it might be for what's comfortable. Okay. But most of the time, we're going to be around people. We're going to be, you know, so you have to think about what you're going to wear. It's what, you know, being perceived by others. How will I fix my hair? And I got to worry about that every day. I wish. Oh, the Lord decided to take my hair a long time ago. I knew he would. I knew it meant too much to me. Okay. You know, I used to have beautiful long hair. Anyway. How am I going to talk to this person? How am I going to talk to that person? Do I care? Should I care? I'm gifted at certain things. Should I care? Should I say something? At certain times, it's perception. I was at a worship conference last week with some of our team members, and I was in a breakout session for guitar players. So if you've ever been to some type of conference, this is usually how they go. Usually, I know with music, worship, leadership, I've been to a lot of different, actually in the secular world, been to a lot of different kinds of conferences. You have these main sessions where you'll have the main guest speaker, and then you'll have breakout sessions, okay? So then you'll have all these different options for you to go to and to learn different things, and you can choose what breakout sessions you're going to go to. So I went to one session that was for guitar players, and the guy teaching it is somebody I have worked with many years before. I don't think he remembered that, which is easy to understand. He had a business, like a sound business at the time, and I worked with him on something. And so he didn't recognize me, and I don't think I'd have recognized him either. We're both a lot older, and we just look different. And he's a really talented guy. His name's Corey Nolan. He's a producer, guitarist, pastor, tech, just an all-around music guy, and really good. He's really good at a lot of different things, and he did a great job in that session. Well, I was sitting there with a mix of younger and middle-aged guys, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm aware of most of what he's talking about. And I experienced this the last time I went to a conference like this. I've just been doing this for so long. I faced a lot of things. And so most of the things they talk about I've encountered before, but I can always learn something. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm aware of most of what he's talking about, how to approach the guitar in worship, how it's different playing in the secular world. Okay, I know that. I've been there, done it. There's different warm-up techniques or different ways to learn songs quickly. I knew what he was talking about, everything he was talking about, all good stuff. And I'm thinking, you know what? I got a lot to offer these guitarists who are sitting here, but it's not my session. It's his session. So do I keep quiet? Do I speak? Should I just listen? Perception. I'm perceiving. I'm trying to perceive the right thing to do here. Okay. If I speak from a position of knowledge, do I need to explain myself? I'm asking myself these questions. Okay. What I've done, you know, are they going to think I'm arrogant if I do that? All these thoughts are in my head. How will I be perceived and what will be the best for the moment? Because I don't want to come across arrogant. But I have a lot of knowledge that I could share with these guys. And so anyway, I basically listened, which was the right move. It wasn't my session. Until Corey brought up a new song that I recently heard that I really, really like. And it's just a song full of joy. And one of the reasons I really like it is because it's done by a lot of younger guys that are really skilled, but it's just so full of joy. And I was just like, ah, oh, this is so great. And the way that it was arranged, I've been arranging music most of my life, and I love the way they did it. And I thought, man, when I was that age, I don't think I could have done that. And just so great. So I just pipe up and say, in the middle of him talking, mind you, wow, that's a great song, because I love that song. And that's the most recent song that I listened to that I was like, wow. And then I feel like for what I have to say, to have any weight, you know, these guys don't know me. I need to say something. So, you know, something like I've played guitar my whole life. I've been a worship pastor for many years. So I just blurt that out. I played guitar my whole life, and I've been a worship pastor for many years. Okay. Well, the second that comes out of my mouth, I'm like, nobody cares, Roger. Oh, boy. I mean, all I was saying is that what I'm about to say about the arrangement of this song is going to hold weight if they know my experience. That's all I was doing. But, you know, stupid. Perception. So the minute these words come out of my mouth, I just feel ridiculous and almost embarrassed. And, you know, Roger, none of that matters. You should have just shared that you liked the arrangement of the song. Yes, reminds me of my my mother saying to me when I was young, when somebody gives you a compliment, don't try to say, oh, I'm not this, I'm not that. Just say, thank you. And that's what I should have done, is just said, I like the arrangement of the song. So even in a situation that I'm very knowledgeable about and confident, I really was confident, perception went through my head. And I'll give another important to me, as I'm sure they're important to you if you have children. And I was just with my kids last weekend. And to be honest with you, I really want my kids to think I'm good at what I do. And I just do. And it's not out of insecurity. It's because I love my kids. And I want them to think well of me. I just do. It matters to me. And so you know, if it's being a pastor, if it's being a musician, you know, my kids have been around lots of good musicians, going to larger churches, that kind of a thing. So they're around that kind of thing. I want them to think I'm a good songwriter, you know, that I speak well, things like that. And that I'm a good dad. It's important to me. Okay. Well, my kids like to make fun of me. And it's all in good fun. And most of the time, I'm laughing right along with them. I'll just give you an example. A couple months ago, and my son, I don't know if you know my son. A lot of you do. He can be super funny. Anyway, he says, we're all kind of sitting around, my family. And he grabs his phone. And he goes, who am I? And he starts squinting at his phone, batting his eyes like he can't see it, like this. And they all go, Dad. And it's like, I had no idea I was doing that. Anyway, all has to do with my contacts and whatever. Just so you know, you don't need to know that. But anyway, all has to do with clearing my eyes. So I'm like, oh, do I do that? Oh. Anyway, I had to get over that one. But it matters to me. It's perception. Okay? So you might even be sitting there and thinking, I don't care what people think of me. I don't care. You know, for you to even say that, you had to think about it. You had to think about perception. We all do. And you might think about it and go, I don't care. I'll deal with you in a minute. Okay. Because if you say that, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you say, well, I don't care, your next thought might just be, and maybe should be, maybe I should care. Maybe I should. Because perception is going to happen in different ways, and it's not all bad. Okay? In some ways, we need to think about how we're perceived by others so that we're aware of what kind of a witness or example we're being. Maybe, you know, maybe you're being kind of mean or sharp with people. Okay? And you don't want to be like that. Maybe you're not listening very well to people and they think of you as not caring, even though maybe you do. But if you think, well, I don't care. Well, on some things you should care. Okay? Am I being a light to my world? If I'm not, then why not? Then why aren't I? Is my perception of myself a reason? Now think about this. The perception of yourself, is it a reason why you perceive situations incorrectly sometimes? Do you get offended easily? Do you get emotionally down easily? Okay? Because we're created to perceive people and situations. God made us that way. We have to be able to perceive what's happening. Okay? Mark 2, 7 and 8 proves my point. This is Jesus. Okay? Verse 7. Why does this man speak like that? This is the guys that were around. He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? So this is what they were upset about, that Jesus had said, your sins are forgiven you, to someone. And they're saying, what? You know, or that's what they're thinking. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit, perceiving that they thus questioned him within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? Jesus perceived that these men were questioning the fact that he could forgive sins. Now, Jesus always perceived people. He perceived situations. And he perceived himself correctly every time. But how can we do that? And I want to give you one more example. In 1 Samuel, the prophet Samuel is looking for the man to replace King Saul, whom God had rejected. And the brothers of the future King David are paraded before him. Many of you know this story. Samuel goes to their house. David is not in the house at the time. And so these other brothers are paraded before him. And, you know, nice looking people. Tall, those kinds of things. 1 Samuel 16, verse 6 says, when they came, he, Samuel, looked on Eliab, that's one of David's brothers, and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. All right, so we see that even the great prophet Samuel perceived a situation incorrectly. But he listened to God, who showed him how to perceive correctly in regard to people. God sees the heart. Now, can you see into someone else's heart? No. Unless God reveals something to you. But even if you don't know what's exactly in someone's heart, God is the one who's going to show us how to deal with a situation, with a person, okay? So, Samuel heard from God, so he was able to make the right choice. So if this is true, how does the perception of myself, those around me, what others think of me, and perceiving situations correctly become healthy and not hurtful to me and to other people? You know, maybe making bad choices like Samuel almost did, or not having my feelings hurt all the time, okay? And the verse we started with talked about abiding in the vine. This is how we do it. We abide in the vine. We remain in the vine, and that vine is Jesus. Samuel didn't perceive correctly until God spoke to him. We need Jesus to speak to us by his Spirit. Now I'm going to go back to John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. All right. We establish the fact that God chose you. We begin with that understanding. And since God chose you, you are highly valued. Everybody say highly valued. Let's change that. I am highly valued. Say it. Thank you. I am highly valued. By who? By God, the most important person. But he didn't choose you just to go to heaven. He chose you to bear fruit, to do something, that we actually need to do something, okay? So when we think of perception, how we perceive ourselves and others, we begin with an understanding of who we are in Christ, that he's appointed us to bear fruit. So if think about it this way. If you have a poor perception of yourself, if you're when you think about yourself, it's down here, okay? Then we begin to perceive situations and we begin to perceive other people incorrectly. You may have a low opinion of yourself, so maybe you'll say things to get people to like you. That doesn't usually work out. Now, if you think that's everybody else in the world and not you, well, think again, because every person I know, and I mean every person I know a lot of people. Every single person, even me, has got some type of insecurities. Some type. Now, listen, they don't have to rule your life, but we've all got them. We've all got them. If we remain in the true vine, Jesus Christ, we can make a difference in the world and we'll be a light. You'll be able to turn one of those lights on out there and we won't be so worried about people liking us of being a light to your world. And I want to say this again. If you're a born-again believer in Christ, you are highly valued. Now, for the translation of what I'm saying, I added something this morning, so this will not be in your notes, so stay with me. I'll try not to talk too fast. All right, you know, diamonds are one of the most valuable items in this world. Would you agree with that? Just say yes. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Humor me. Okay. All right, so one of the most famous is the Taylor Burton diamond. How many of you have heard of this diamond? You all ladies, probably. Most of you. Okay. All right. It was made famous by its celebrity owners. Now I want to know how many people have heard of Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. How about that? Okay. A lot of you. Okay. This diamond was first discovered in 1966. Richard Burton purchased the 69.42 carat stone for $1.1 million in 1969 as a gift for Elizabeth Taylor, who had it set into a diamond necklace as it was too heavy to wear as a ring. If you see a picture of it on somebody's hand, probably her hand, I mean, the thing is huge. It would just be ridiculous. And so she wore it as a diamond necklace. However, I thought this was interesting. Under the rules of the ring's insurance policy, Taylor was only allowed to wear the diamond 30 days per year. And under the protection of armed guards. Yeah. When Burton and Taylor divorced in 1978, Elizabeth Taylor sold the diamond for between $3 million and $5 million, with some of the proceeds going to charity. And today it's worth around $8 million. Okay. Now look, your value is so much greater than even the Taylor Burton diamond. Okay, but what if you came into possession of this diamond? Okay. But you didn't know what it was. You just thought, wow, this is a really pretty rock. This is really cool. I really like this rock, but I don't know what I'm going to do with it. So you sold it to somebody for $100. You thought you were doing pretty well. But if you had realized the worth of the diamond, you could have made $8 million. I mean, you could have given this to Convoy of Hope. Then none of us would have to give. No, I'm just kidding. But you could have fed hundreds of thousands of kids. So one of the main reasons that the Taylor Burton diamond is so valuable is because of who owned it. Now, the rock itself and the way that it's cut, I'm sure, is wonderful and beautiful and is worth a lot of money. But because it was owned by this famous couple, one of the most famous couples in history, then it's worth much, much more. And when it comes to you and me, the reason we're so highly valued is not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. That's what makes us valuable. Okay? God chooses to associate himself with you. He created you. He bought you for a price. So it's important that you realize your value, not because of how great you are, but because of how great and valuable that God thinks you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20 says this, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price." That's in the Bible. So glorify God in your body. And in Acts 20, 28, it says that you were purchased by his blood. You were bought with a price. So if you don't personally believe that you have great value because God has placed this value on you, you will perceive yourself and others incorrectly. So we need to start with that. You are highly valued, not because you individually are so great. I don't care how many gifts you have. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care how good looking you are. I don't care anything like that. It's because of God. And when we recognize it's because of God, wow, our whole life changes. If you want confidence in your life and you feel like, wow, I'm just not confident in my day-to-day living, that's how you get confidence, is you get to know him, the one who values you highly, and you understand how valuable you are to him. Then your insecurities will not rule you. But faith and confidence in who you are in Christ will help enable you to minister to others. Remember that verse I read earlier in John 15 about how God chose us and appointed us to what? To bear fruit, okay? Galatians 5, 22 and 23, this talks about that fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Well, bearing this kind of fruit is what makes us a shining light to our world. Anybody who turned one of those bulbs on, they portrayed one of these fruits of the Spirit. And that's why they were able to do that. Maybe that was you. I hope that was you. So these things are whispered to us by his Spirit. And it will help us to perceive correctly and in a healthy manner, abiding in the vine. So if you truly love others, that's what he starts with. You're not thinking about yourself and your life, which you shouldn't have. If you have the joy of Jesus Christ, you understand how much he loves you and wants to use you. You'll also have joy seeing him work in people around you, in situations. You'll rejoice. You'll rejoice. Having joy many times over because of what he is doing, and you're seeing it happen. Peace comes as you grow and understand how good he is. And peace can give you that confidence in him that enables you to perceive as he perceives. You're in a tough situation. You don't have to be thrown. You don't have to be insecure. You have the peace of God because you've been with him and you understand who you are in Jesus. Highly valued. Highly valued. Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness are all things. Think about this. That being behind Christ, not in front of him, they'll be a part of your life because his life is your life. Think of it this way, that when you are abiding in the vine, instead of you being out front, you're backing up behind Christ. He's the one in front of you, and then his life becomes your life. See? So then it's not, you don't have to be insecure about how you're not good at something or how you don't know how to say the right thing, whatever it might be. Jesus is standing in front of you so that people aren't seeing you, they're seeing Jesus. It's just a great thought to have, okay? And we know that Jesus is all these things, these fruits of the Spirit. That's what Jesus is. If I get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. And the last one is self-control. It takes place as we allow more and more the Spirit of Christ to control our thought process, our focus, and even achieving life goals. I'm not going to go on rabbit trails, but God lays these things on our hearts. And if we understand his purpose for our life, that's going to cause us to make right choices and have self-control. Okay? Correct perception of ourselves, those around us, and situations can happen as we abide in Christ and we remain and we live in him. I want to close with this opening scripture that we had, John 15, 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. Nothing of real value apart from Jesus. Things that are going to last. Okay? So, how do you apply these things to your life? You might say, well, I agree with all that. There is your part to play. And that's being purposeful in your focus every day. You know, it all comes back, usually, to staying in God's Word, talking to God in prayer, and staying in fellowship with other people. Staying in fellowship is so important. Even if you're just a supreme introvert, it's just important. It's important because you will get support. You'll be able to support others. You will be able to grow. Even if you have disagreements, the church is the best place to grow as a person. That happens through fellowship. So fellowship, sometimes we think, you know, being in the Word and prayer, well, that's way up here, and then fellowship, well, that's down here. They're all really important, really important. Correct perception is going to help us to allow God in our lives to reach others for him. All right, so, like I said, all of us have insecurities. You know, it's funny. My wife's father was a wonderful man. Went to be with the Lord several years ago. I mean, he was the kind of guy, honestly, in most situations, I would say this honestly, he just didn't care. I mean, if he, you know, when I say he didn't care, he didn't really care too much of what you thought of him. He didn't. He and I could sit in a room for for an hour. And at first it was super uncomfortable because he wouldn't say anything to me. And if I said something to him, I'd get a one-word answer. And this happened for many, many years. And he just didn't care. So after a while, I didn't care. But the reason I say that is because of anybody I've known, that was him. Well, I don't care what anybody thinks of me. But there were certain things. There were certain things that he did care. They wouldn't come up very often, but when they did, I was like, oh, there it is. There it is, Ray. Ray had a good understanding of who he was in Jesus. The bottom line for all of this is that when we perceive ourselves and our situations correctly, then we're able to minister without worrying what people think of you. With perceiving situations correctly, you're not thinking about your insecurities. You're not thinking about, well, what do they think of me? I don't know. No, you're just moving as the Spirit whispers to you, okay? Doesn't make you weird. It makes you be able to relate to people, okay? And it enables you to share the gospel in greater measure. You guys all right? Okay. All right. Let's just a quick bowing of our heads. And if you're in this place today and you've come in here and you like what you're hearing, but there's some of it you don't understand and you would like to get to know Jesus personally, because I'm talking about him like he's a real person, because he is. And you would like to get to know this real person who thinks so much of you. And you would like to get to know him. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand, and we're just going to pray for you quick. I'm not going to call you out. If you would like to pray that prayer today, to ask him into your life so that you could know him, I would like you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Amen. See you back there. All right. Great. All right, let's just pray together. Lord, we just love you so much. And Lord, for the person who raised their hand today, I want to ask, Lord God, that you will reveal yourself. I think you're already doing that. Reveal yourself to the individual as you have revealed yourself to so many of us. And you originated that, and then we responded. So, Lord, thank you for the response. Just want to pray, Lord God, that you would reveal yourself, because that's the greatest day each of us have, when we get to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so, Lord, all of us today, we just want to ask you to forgive us of our sins, those things that are against your word, that are against what you have taught in the Bible, things that we inherently know, because that's how you created us. We know things are right and wrong, but in the Bible, it's very plainly stated. And Lord, we want to live for you, and we ask the forgiveness of those sins against you in Jesus' name. And Lord, you said that you are faithful to forgive us our sins. Hallelujah. You said, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all anxiety. We thank you for that. And so, Lord, for everybody else who's accepted you before, Lord, just want to pray. We all have insecurities, but Lord, we're able to minister when we realize who we are in Jesus. We have the right perception of ourselves, which gives us the right perception of others and situations. And Lord God, help each one of us to get to know you more, that we can minister in this life the way you want us to bear that fruit. So we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Everybody stand up.